Here in this sanctuary of ancient dreams, this sanctuary of wisdom and beauty, we come to grow, to be healed, to stretch mind and heart, to be challenged and renewed, to be helped in our own continuing struggles for meaning and for love, to help build a world with more justice and mercy in it, to be counted among the hopers and the doers. In the face of cynicism, darkness and brutality around us and within, we seek to align ourselves with a living community, a community that would affirm rather than despair, that would think and act rather than simply adjust and succumb. So here we invite the spirit of our own humanity and the healing powers under, around and through and beyond it, to give us the nerve and grace, the toughness and the sensitivity, to search out the truth that frees, the love that moves, and the onward flowing life that makes all things new. These opening words by Jack Mendelssohn, they welcome all who have gathered this morning for our Sunday service. Welcome to those of you who are here in person at Essex Church in Kensington. Welcome to all who are joining us via Zoom from far and wide. For anyone who doesn't know me, my name is Jane Blackall and I'm minister with Kensington Unitarians. I'm really glad you made it here today. This morning's service has the title Free and Unfree. The theme was inspired by the famous words of the civil rights activist Fannie Lou Hamer, "Nobody's free until everybody's free." This is a big, big topic, but I hope we'll make some modest inroads into it this morning, into exploring this tension between the freedom of the individual and our collective liberation. We'll consider how some of the many dimensions of freedom interact with all of the many, many ways in which we and our human neighbours are still somewhat unfree. But let's take a moment to pause and check in with ourselves before we go any further. How are you doing this morning, in body, in mind, and in spirit? Maybe it'd help you to stretch or shake off any physical tension you came in carrying. Maybe you could do with intentionally setting aside any worries that are bouncing around your brain this morning. Maybe you need to take a conscious breath or two to really arrive. As we often say here, we make this hour sacred with our presence and intention. So let's be here now as best we can. I'm going to light our chalice flame as we do each time we gather. It's a simple ritual that connects us with Unitarians and Unitarian Universalists the world over, and it reminds us of the proudly progressive religious tradition of which this gathering is part. Symbol of light and knowledge, symbol of warmth and freedom. We light this chalice as a symbol of our faith as we gather to celebrate hope and the infinite possibilities of love. Time to sing. Our first hymn today is a decidedly lively one. It's number 42 in your purple hymn books, From the Light of Days Remembered, also known as The Fire of Commitment. For those joining via Zoom, the words will be on your screen. Feel free to stand or sit as you prefer, and yeah, sing up as best you can. Let's take all of those joys and concerns, both spoken and unspoken, into an extended time of prayer now. This is based on some words by Douglas Taylor. You might want to adjust your position to get more comfortable. You might want to put down anything you don't need to be holding. You might want to close your eyes. Perhaps there's a position that helps you to feel more centered and prayerful. Whatever helps you to get into the right state of body and mind for us to pray together now. To be fully present in this sacred time and space with ourselves, with each other, and with that which lies within us and beyond us. Spirit of life, God of all love, in whom we live and move and have our being, we turn our full attention to you, the light within and without, as we tune in to the depths of this life, and the greater wisdom to which and through which we are intimately connected. Be with us now as we allow ourselves to drop into the silence and the stillness at the very centre of our being. Gracious and loving God, universal spirit from whom all things come and to whom all things return, We gather on the edge of another week, and for some of us, on the very edge of our strength, on the edge of our capacity to manage all that life has brought our way. Some of us come here uplifted by the events of the week, some weighed down by them. Or maybe we arrive in some paradoxical mixture of the two. Yet we are here, together, in our familiar Sunday gathering of hope and restoration. We may come weary and worn down. We may come with questions and curiosity, with a longing, or with something to offer. But for those who this morning find themselves shattered, or lonely, or lost, let us offer our prayers of resilience and restoration. In prayer, we test the tender places in our hearts and in our lives to sense what healing may yet occur. And gratitude is often a great source of healing. So let us give thanks for the landscapes of grace in our lives, for music and for good companions, for the guidance of great principles and all the examples of integrity that are around us. Let us give thanks for all that lifts us up and the lessons that lead us on. For the times when we are brought low by anxiety or adversity, show us the hidden wells of love we can tap into. And help us rise up once more, just once more, and once more again. Remind us we do not strive in vain. We're part of a chorus, and resilience is in our very bones. Peace will ultimately prevail on this good earth, and healing and grace will come like soft rain. Be thou an ever-present strength on our journeys, and teach us that in falling down we do rise again. And in a few moments of shared stillness now, let us call to mind all those people and situations who are on our hearts this morning, thinking of all those issues that concern us close to home and in troubled spots the world over. Let us hold them in gentle, loving kindness for a while. Let us hold ourselves in loving kindness too, for each of us carries our own private burdens. Life is tough for so many this day. We're all too aware of life's struggles and hardships. So let us rest in self-compassion as we each ask silently for what we most need this day. Let us take one more moment to reflect on the week just gone in a spirit of gratitude. Let us notice and give thanks for all those blessings, large or small, that have helped to lift our spirits just a little. And maybe we can prepare our hearts to recognize and receive more of life's goodness in the week to come. Spirit of life, God of all love, as this time of prayer draws to a close, we offer up our joys and our concerns, our hopes and our fears, our beauty and our brokenness, and we call on you for insight, healing and renewal. As we look forward now to the coming week, help us to live well each day and be our best selves, using our unique gifts in the service of love, justice and peace. Amen. So we've got a bonus addition to our usual programme now. I'm going to invite Anthony to come and tell us a story. It's the story of the wolf and the dog, one of Aesop's fables, retold by Bill Darlison, who some of us know. And it's one way of looking at freedom, but not a way without its problems. Choosing the reading doesn't imply a wholehearted endorsement. I might add a little bit of commentary later on, but see what you make of it.
The Story of the Wolf and the Dog, retold by Bill Darlison. One day, a dog met a wolf in the forest. The dog said to the wolf, "Mr. Wolf, why are you so thin? Haven't you eaten recently? You really must learn to look after yourself better." "I eat when I can," said the wolf. "But it's not always easy to get food. I'm getting older and I'm not as quick as I used to be. The animals I eat seem to be able to get away from me these days." "Well, you should come and live with me," said the dog. "I live in a big house. It's warm and cozy. My master feeds me 3 times a day, and I can sit and doze in front of the fire any time I like. Sometimes he lets me out for a few minutes so I can run around the forest. Well, there he is, over there, waiting for me to go back to him. Come with me. He'll look after you." "I think I will," replied the wolf. "Why should I be out here in the cold grabbing what food I can when I can be fed for free? Lead the way." As the dog went on ahead, the wolf noticed that the dog had a little circle around his neck where the fur had worn away. "What's wrong with your neck?" he asked. "Oh, it's nothing. It's just where my master fastens a chain around me each night to keep me in my place when he's asleep," said the dog, a little ashamed. "Sorry," said the wolf, "I won't be coming with you. I'd rather be half-starved and free than well-fed and a slave. Bye!" And the wolf vanished into the forest.
Thanks, Anthony. Okay, we've got another hymn now. This is number 16 in the Purple Book. Captive Voices Cry for Freedom. It's not one I've knowingly sung here before, but it's totally on topic. So let's give it a go. I think it's perfectly singable. Perhaps George can play it through once before we start to sing. The words will be up on screen as usual. Number 16, Captive Voices Cry for Freedom.
Oh, To the people who have mistaken freedom for liberation, by Teresa I. Sotto. To be free, you must embrace the breadth of your existence without apology, even if they try to take it from you. You must know not that you can do whatever you want. You are not a kudzu vine, eating entire hillsides for the purpose of feeding your own lush life. You must know instead, that inside you are entire universes, milky blue, magenta, and gold, expanding. But to actually be free, you must know and you must fight for the entire universes inside of everybody else. Being free is not a license, but a promise.
Thank you, Sonia. So we're moving into a time of meditation now. I'm going to share a few quotes on this theme of freedom and unfreedom for us to ponder inwardly during the time of silence. The quotes will take us into 3 good minutes of silence, which will end with the sound of a bell. And then we're going to hear some wonderful music from George. So again, let's do what we need to do to get comfortable. You might want to get your feet flat on the floor so you feel more grounded. You might want to close your eyes. And I always say the words are just an offering. Feel free to use this time to meditate in your own way. So Jean Malouf wrote, "Only in true freedom can one flower. Freedom is probably the soul's deepest need." Eleanor Roosevelt said, "Freedom makes a huge requirement of every human being. With freedom comes responsibility. For the person who is unwilling to grow up, the person who does not want to carry his own weight, this is a frightening prospect." Franklin D. Roosevelt said, "True individual freedom cannot exist without economic security and independence. People who are hungry and out of a job are the stuff of which dictatorships are made." Paulo Freire said, "Liberation is a praxis, the action and reflection of men and women upon their world in order to transform it." Albert Camus said, "The only way to deal with an unfree world is to become so absolutely free that your very existence is an act of rebellion." And Fannie Lou Hamer said, "Nobody's free until everybody's free." I wonder if any of those quotes particularly spoke to your condition this morning. I invite you to take those diverse thoughts on freedom and unfreedom into a time of shared silence and stillness now.
I'm going to read a poem which is printed on the inserts in your orders of service. This short poem on the nature of freedom is written by a young Afghan refugee called Yamal Abbasi. He came to Germany at the age of 12 and wrote this poem at the age of 16. On the Nature of Freedom by Yamal Abbasi. Freedom is a fine word for which much has been sacrificed and which can harbour many dangers. But that does not mean that we have no freedom at all. We've just not understood it properly. We have not understood that it has limits. We have not understood that untamed freedom can lead to folly. Yet we are not always responsible for it ourselves.
People who could not taste freedom their whole lives long, and then suddenly come to a world in which it is highly valued, do not understand freedom. They follow their image of freedom, and in this lose their own way. No spot on this earth can be completely unfree, because a person's thoughts and the way a person experiences the world are a universe of their own. It would be good to know where the roots of unfreedom lie, so that one's own freedom is not suddenly in a cage.
Thanks, Brian. Now, as I said at the top of the service, this theme of freedom and unfreedom is a big, big topic. So we might as well accept up front that we are barely going to scratch the surface today. But I hope it's one we'll return to again and again and approach from various different angles in the months and the years to come. After all, it is a theme beloved of Unitarians. Historically, we've made a lot of freedom, reason and tolerance as our guiding values. We call ourselves a free religious faith. And it's a theme that means a lot to me personally too, though I prefer to speak in terms of liberation more than freedom. The two words have slightly different connotations for me. When I had my ordination service a couple of years ago, I wrote a little statement of my vision for my ministry. I tried to articulate what my own sense of calling was. And liberation was a big part of what I hoped my future ministry would be about. Perhaps that's why I picked this topic for a service a week before the induction service. I've long been inspired by the liberation theology tradition, this idea that God cares especially for the oppressed, for the unfree, and we're all called to join in the struggle for the liberation of everyone, to create the conditions in which all human beings are in a position to flourish and thrive. It's a big ask, of course, but I do really believe in those words of Fanny Lou Hamer, nobody's free until everybody's free. But what does it really mean to be free? Or to be unfree. Often we hear talk of freedom from people asserting that they should be free to do whatever they want. But to my mind, that's framing freedom in a very individualistic, very libertarian sense. Asserting our rights to do what we like in pursuit of our own pleasure and happiness, whatever the consequences, whatever collateral damage there might be to any poor soul who has the misfortune of being in our way. I don't suppose you'll be that surprised to hear me say, I think this is quite a problematic way to think about freedom. It brings to mind that well-known quote, your right to swing your fist ends where my nose begins. There seems to be an unavoidable tension between individual liberties and collective well-being. And we each need to work out a way to live, which takes both sides of that equation into account. We heard that tale of the dog and the wolf earlier from Anthony, and as I hinted, I have slightly mixed feelings about it, because it seems to present just two options for life. You can be wild and free like the lone wolf, or you can give up your freedom like the poor old dog who has chosen domestication and captivity. It's a binary choice. You can be independent, or you can be dependent and trapped. But surely there's a middle way between these two. What would it be like if we acknowledge our interdependence? The idea that we are embedded in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny, to quote Martin Luther King. Our actions and inactions will always have an impact on others, whether we intend it or not. So if we look at freedom through the lens of interdependence, we might opt to voluntarily give up some of our own freedom, to constrain our own actions in order to minimize harm to others and to act in service of the common good. And I think most of us in reality do this quite a bit in our daily lives. We accept some limits to our freedom as part of the social contract. There's an essay on freedom by the philosopher Shay Welsh, which adds a little something important on this, I think. She writes, part of the importance of social freedom to individuals is the ability to shape their life and express their personality. Social freedom is essential if people are to meaningfully live their lives by making plans, making commitments, curious endeavours and inquiries, personal expressions and relationships. These activities require that people are able to choose freely, and yet their choices are constrained. Social oppression leads to unjust and predetermined limited options that direct members of certain social groups towards specific, similar, stereotypical life paths. Words by Shay Welsh. And we can unpack that, we can make that more concrete and think of some examples. There are so many ways in which freedom, or more to the point, unfreedom, are manifested in real people's everyday lives. We might think through the physical and psychological and social and spiritual dimensions of freedom and unfreedom. Some people are unfree in the very most basic sense. They're locked up in prison or otherwise in physical captivity. We might think of people in abusive relationships who can't leave the home. We better leave consideration of the prison system for another day, though I think Sarah did a service on that not very long ago. Some people's freedom is constrained as a result of various laws which prohibit certain behaviours, including laws which we might think are unjust. Laws in the UK limiting the right to protest. Laws around the world which still criminalise LGBTQ people. Some people's life choices are limited due to being trapped in poverty or in debt. And more people are falling into this category, living precariously, working ever more hours for less pay, due to the ever-increasing concentration of wealth in the hands of the very few. Some people are unfree because they're constrained by social and cultural conventions or family obligations, which they feel unable to escape. Some are boxed in by prejudice or stereotype or discrimination, which might even make it dangerous for them to just walk down the street, just exist in public. We've heard lots of examples of that through the Black Lives Matter movement in the last few years. And these same factors block people's access to education or jobs or simply the resources they need to get by. Some of us are unfree because of addiction or other compulsive behaviours. And some of us are unfree through fixed habits of thinking that we just can't break out of. It's a long list, is what I'm trying to say. And of course, it is an incomplete list. There are very, very many ways in which we can be unfree. And I recently came across another essay from a young New York-based philosopher, Yaron Homin, who's been doing a lot of work on this notion of unfreedom. This is a longish excerpt adapted from his writing, but I think it's really important and I want to share his insight with you. So Yaron Homin writes, "To speak of liberation invites the question, liberation from what? The first step in liberation is to understand the conditions of unfreedom from which we want to liberate ourselves. Unfreedom involves an experience of constraint or denial. There is something I should be able to do or I want to do, but I cannot. This feeling of frustration is the experiential guide to experiencing unfreedom. It asks us to understand the causes of that frustration and what might relieve it. Unfreedom takes many forms, from slavery to authoritarianism to group-based forms of oppression and domination. Unfreedom is right before our eyes. Workers are bound to alienating and exploitative work where they can get it. Women are forced to pay impossible amounts of money and travel impossible distances to get abortions in places where they are legal. Black people and other communities of colour are pushed into ghettos, and when those areas become desirable, they are forced out by rising rents and cost of living. People with disabilities are denied access to basic infrastructure and are left out of the support needed to live a decent life. The global South is trapped in cycles of debt and locked into economic policies that serve not their citizens, but only the short-term interests of multinational corporations. Unfreedom is not only normal, it is systemic." Some powerful words from Yaron Homin about just a few of the aspects of freedom that seem to be baked into our contemporary globalised society. And as he says, the first step towards liberation is to understand the conditions we might want to liberate ourselves from. The first step towards liberation is awareness of the problem in all its complexity, an acknowledgement of the suffering it causes to all who are unfree, which ultimately is all of us, because nobody's free until everybody's free. So where does that leave us? Well, for today at least, because I'm sure this is a subject we will keep returning to, I wonder if it tells us that our calling as a faith community, a free religious faith community, is to keep that awareness of freedom and unfreedom front and centre, to make liberation a guiding principle as we go forward, and to resist, to disrupt, and to unlearn all the ways of the world that are unjustly keeping us, all of us, from thriving, flourishing, and living free. I hope that's where we're headed. May it be so, for the greater good of all. Amen. Time for one last hymn. We couldn't not choose this one today. Number 70 in your purple books. I wish I knew how it would feel to be free. Sing up and let's enjoy it. A few announcements now. Thank you to Ramona for tech hosting, last minute stand-in for Janine who's poorly, and hello to Janine at home. Thanks to Sonia for co-hosting online and welcoming everyone. Thanks to Anthony, Sonia and Brian for reading. Thanks to George for putting all the flourishes into our play-in today. Thanks to Julia who's already gone out to put the kettle on for coffee, and to Liz for greeting. For those of you who are here in person, please do stay on for tea and cake. It's berry lime drizzle cake this week, served in the hall next door. And if you're online, please do stay on for a chat with Sonia. We've got all sorts of small group activities going on. There is so much singing happening at the church these days. Stay behind after today's service for a singing lesson with Margaret, Finding Your Voice. That's free from 12:30? 12:30 to 1:15, I think that is. Come back on Wednesday night for our community singing group. That's great fun. And looking a bit further ahead, we've got Many Voices meeting here after service on Sunday the 4th. That is a long-running LGBTQIA singing group, but allies are very welcome too. And congregation members can go for free. You can pick up flyers for all of these events. Tatty and Gaynor, who run Many Voices, are here today. Tatty, do you want to come up and say hello?
Hi, everyone. everyone. I'm Tati, that's Gaynor over there. Hi. LGBTQIA. So if you are a member of the LGBTQIA community, or you have friends who are, or you're an ally to our community, then and you like to sing, regardless of whether you consider yourself to be a singer or not. Clearly, there are people in the room who like to sing already, and yeah, you're very welcome. The next one is on 4th of Feb, which is 2 weeks today.
Thank you, Tati. What else have we got going on? Sonia's back with Nia dance classes in the building Friday lunchtime at 12:30, and Heart and Soul, our contemplative spiritual gathering, is happening online tonight or Friday at 7 o'clock. That's a great way to get to know people more deeply, and this week's theme is poetry. Sign up with me if you want the link for that. Next Saturday we have the long-awaited induction service. That's 3 o'clock next Saturday, officially marking the start of the new ministry, even though I've been here quite a while. I think we've got at least 60 people coming in person and another 20 or so online. I think we're mostly organised in terms of logistics, but if you want to help out in some way, just let me or Liz know. Yeah, it's going to be a good do, a big celebration. You're all very welcome. Next Sunday we'll be back here at 11 o'clock as usual, when our theme will be Ordinary Time. All this information is on the back of your order of service or in the Friday email. If you haven't signed up for the online mailing list, please do, because I send out a message every Friday with all the upcoming events. The congregation very much has a life beyond Sunday mornings. We encourage you to keep in touch, look out for each other, and do what you can to nurture supportive connections. I think that's everything. Just time for our closing words and our closing music. Our time together is now ended. Go in peace. Embraced by the light and the warmth of our gathering. Go in love, ready again to struggle on. And go in beauty, shining forth like a lamp for freedom. And let us share in the ongoing worship of the community in dispersion, taking what we've found here back out into the world and passing it on for the greater good of all. Amen.